Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to talk about called a partial decompression work and its application to a real deduplication system. I'm Guanlin Lu, I came from EMC. So here is the blue bar below represents basically is the a source buffer for the just a very typical LZ formatted data. The concept of LZ decompressor is you have a source buffer, you have a destination buffer. Now you basically you have a pointer scan the source buffer and doing the decompression and output to the destination buffer. And there are a couple of the terms. Hopefully, in my next slide, my demo will make it clear. So basically, in the source buffer, you have the always starting with the encoding bytes, and followed by maybe another encoding bytes, or may follow by the data piece. And if the data piece is basically used for the literal case. And if you take a closer look into the encoding byte, and that's just give you two examples of the, actually there can be three different types of encoding bytes. Here I list the two. So one is the most simple case called a literal. Literal means you will always see starting from the most significant bit is 00, indicate, okay, this is a literal match. In the sense that the RAM length, it's like 6 bits RAM length, is how many bytes immediately followed you need to copy to the destination buffer, which is simple. Another case is a small match, which is the encoding bytes is 2 bytes long. And you will see starting with a one, it's the red color one. The most significant bit is one, then followed by the RAM length, then followed by the offset. And the meaning of each one, and I hope you get clear in the next slides. And so you have a couple of pointers. The P pointer pointing to the beginning of basically the source, I mean, where you copy from. And the S pointer, you're always moving the S pointer, basically moving from the one encoding bytes to the next encoding bytes. So you always know what to do next for the decompressor. And also you have a D pointer pointing to the destination buffer, basically it's the output buffer. So here's an example. I mean, okay, so at the very beginning of any decompression task, this is the decompressor we're going to init for you, the environment. It will place the S pointer to the beginning of the source buffer. It will place a D pointer to the beginning of the destination buffer. Then it looks that, okay, see the first one is 00, meaning that, oh, this is a literal. And the 5, meaning the size of the bytes you need to copy from, is a 5. So then it will basically place the P pointer to the beginning of that. And then it will copy that 5 bytes to the destination buffer. Then you move the S to the next encoding bytes. Now this time you see, okay, this type is 1. So this is like a small match. Now the 5 is the RAM length, then the next byte 0 is actually the offset. So now it knows, okay, I need to rewind my P pointer, this time pointing to the beginning of the destination buffer because this is 0 of the offset, and now I copy 5 bytes. Then I'm moving the moving on. So now you can see this is how the LZ decompressor works. That's why how you can save the space. Sometimes P pointing to the source buffer, sometimes P pointing to the destination buffer, and then doing the work to reconstruct the original data back. And this vanilla version of the decompressor is really nice, and it maintains a separate source and destination buffer. It's stateless, and meaning that you just give the source buffer pointer and acts as a very fancy version of memcopy. Basically decodes and copy every byte in a source buffer and return the destination buffer as a whole, which is very good for the task, meaning that the user, okay, say, decompress once, decompress all bytes. And the typical example, like a whole file decompression, like your user want every byte in your decompressed data. However, when you think about the use case in the real storage system, the use case is kind of slightly more interesting. So in a typical big storage system, and let's assume that underlyingly you apply a way of, especially for the deduplication system, underlying you say apply another layer of like the local compression to pack the so-called unique segment. Actually, in the read pass, so you have, imagine you have many concurrent read stream, right? For each read stream, you will attach a prefetch thread to the stream. That thread is like a, just simply doing a prefetch all these regions sequentially for that stream and before the actual read context came. So then, meaning that the prefetch is done without the read context. It doesn't know what segment in the region will be needed for the upcoming read, the real read request. But anyhow, it will do the prefetch and you will decompress the thing, I mean, completely in a prefetch context. And imagine that if you have a large number of concurrent read streams, and each one will be basically going to have its own prefetch thread to load the region and decompress the thing into your memory, you will see the contention. Meaning that some region being loaded will get unfortunately being evicted even without being used by other streams. So this is like a waste, right? You waste your I/O, you waste your memory, or waste your CPU, basically. So actually, the point, another interesting point is if we find out that not every uncompressed byte in a region is needed. I'm going to explain later why that's the observation is from the dedupe system, especially. So here is the, as an example, we have a different read stream count ranging from A stream to up to like 96 streams. You have the threshing percentage, which represents the number of the regions you loaded, you basically prefetched, and you evict without being used even a single time. And this unused percentage, meaning that the bytes you decompress, but you never touch it, basically it's through the data in the store in the cache, you don't use it. And this is like more like an internal fragmentation, because the cache pool, right, usually in the storage system, cache pool is organized by pages. The page usually have a fixed length. But however, your data after the decompression may not fully occupy the whole page. So you will have some room there. And that's basically showing that internal fragmentation. It's definitely a pros, cons, and trade-off. Like, well, if you have a too small page, you will have so many pages to load. You have a too big page, you just have a too big fragmentation. But anyhow, as you can see, the trend is more streams, the higher threshing percentage, raises the contention. So another use case, like in the storage system, is like garbage collection. Garbage collection, basically, in a phase called basically a copy forward phase, you have like all these regions of the compressed regions have the dead segment, live segment interspersed with each other. And now the garbage collection goal is you have to copy forward the live segment from each compressed region, right? And then so you can delete all the regions left behind. And clearly, each region, you get decompressed fully, but you only use partially. You only need to copy forward those live segments. Imagine you have a live segment, for example, at the very beginning of the region. All the thing after that, the last live segment, you decompress and you waste. So after we realize the use case difference, propose a new, basically, decompression technique, and we wrap into a new API that supports, basically, one is the partial decompression, meaning that you can decompress a fraction of bytes instead of the whole thing. And in place, this is based on, okay, instead of using two buffers, source buffer and destination buffer, maintain one buffer to serve both purposes. Resumable is actually a consequence of you apply the first two. You will find if I hold the single page using both source buffer and destination buffer, it actually automatically you maintain your history. So you actually this become not a stateless in the sense that you can re-enter your buffer and continue this decompression progress from where you have stopped before, which only adds the very small fraction of cost. You maintain the pointers. You remember where you stopped. And then based on this new API, we revise the read pass, meaning that now when to do the prefetching, I mean, before was you always do the decompression. Now it's like you don't do decompression in the prefetching because you don't have the read context. You have the decompression performed at the reader thread at the time you really know what you need. And also you change your caching because your caching before you have everything is decompressed. Now your cache becomes a hybrid. Each page in your cache serves as a partial becomes compressed, the content. And the partial becomes the decompressed content, right? Now, and also you're using an API, you also can provide support to other use cases like GC as mentioned. Now this is the API interface of the thing. So you have basically the page pointers is like tracking the positions on basically which data is starting getting uncompressed in your buffer. This is the in and out argument, meaning that it will be updated. You have the com bytes, is like the tracking what's the remaining bytes in the current buffer. It also will be updated. And the bytes to decomp is like how many bytes you want to decompress per this API call to this buffer. And this decomp NPP basically tracking the end position of the uncompressed byte so far. So basically you have the property like a single page for both input and output, because these two page pointer, comp NPP and decomp NPP will put on the same page. You have the re-entry on the same page. I mean, next time you call it, right, just provide these two pointers, provides what's the next you want, I mean, the bytes to decompress. This is a demo on the use case. I mean, so first, you load the still load the region in your prefetch thread context. Say, let's say the region size is 128K. After load, you align the compressed data to the end of the page. That's the red color represents end of the page. Now you have the pointers. One pointer is the comp NPP point at the beginning of the compressed data, and the decomp NPP point at the beginning of the output. Now, let's say this time when the reader thread comes, right, it brings on read context, it starts to do the decompression work. Basically moving to the same directions, with provided the bytes to decompress. There can be two cases, right? So meaning that the first case, easy case, after the decompression call, you don't have to overlap, meaning that your decompression PP moving, although basically going to overwrite part of your compressed bytes, that's fine, but you didn't catch up with the current decompress and PP. And this meaning the yellow color bar, meaning that this still the bytes left for your future calls. And in this case, you can just return whatever you basically the data will be in the blue color basically is currently is decompressed from the buffer. You have another case, like it's a corner case, but you have to handle. It's the, we call the catch-up case. You have the during decompression, say, at the one point, you have these two pointers catch up with decomp NPP and basically meets the comp NPP. You cannot decompress further, right? Because you will lose if you allow override, you will lose the compressed data. So in this case, you allocate a new page and you copy the remaining compressed data to the new page. Then you're pointing the comp NPP to that place, and then you start you keep doing the decompression. So then you basically decompress everything. Then the good thing is because decompression always, I mean, the number, the total size of the uncomp size is predetermined, right? So you can tune in your compressor such that you make sure the largest size never overflow the page size. So you can make sure that the decomp NPP always like ended in the same page. So then basically this, everything is decompressed. And with this change, right, you need to basically think about how to use that in the read path to modify the read path, right? I mean, very intuitively, you change the load balance on the threads. For the prefetch thread, you now become very lightweighted because you only issue IO so now, right? You just issue IO to load, but you don't kick out the actual decompression. And then for the read thread, you need to do some modification if you only have the one, for example, this is the lookup change, right? the reader, when they bring the context, right, if they only look up one segment at a time, and then you kick out this partial decompression to only decompress one segment at a time, it would be re-entry too many times. So you definitely don't want to do that. So what's the change? Basically, you want to say that, okay, I will batch the lookup together. So in the sense that this is basically based on the discovery that the data locality. In a sense, so the concept is the read context is just a bunch of the SAG references, I mean, stored in your read batch, right? So the idea is if I have one hit, basically link the batch to one of the region, very likely that you'll have a consecutive match, I mean, the hits, I mean, in the same region, meaning that you will not only use one segment in the region, you may use a consecutive n segment in the region. So you want to decompress that n segment and read at the single shot. So that's the basic change, is you want to extend the match from one segment to as many as possible in the sequence. So you can decompress as a whole. And also the change on the read cache, the whole read cache is before in your read cache, the page lifecycle is not uniform, it's bimodal. You have a certain portion of the page which very frequently is serving as a source buffer. So you load it, decompressed, then toss away, return to the pool because you don't maintain that. But now it's like every page in the read cache become uniform lifecycle. Everyone will be served a dual purpose, right? You have loaded as a source buffer. You also use as a destination buffer. You will stay in your memory until you get a pressure and based on, for example, the LRU, whatever, to evict you out. So this basically meaning that you minimize the page allocation and the free counts. Because if you have constantly load and as using a source buffer, you will doing a lot of the page allocation free. And also you remove the cache space cost for a set of the pages you have set aside for the special the loading as a source page. And this is another example of basically the result showing that, okay, if you are simply plugging this a new API to the garbage collection, what can you get? And this on the first column is the liveness percentage, meaning that how many percentage of the segment, I mean, in the region is live. And this, the second one is the expected last live segment in the region. I mean, so as you can see here, the trend is if you have a really small percentage, like 10% liveness, and then you have the sixth segment is the last live segment, you basically can get an improvement, like a 27% copy forward improvement. And as you go down, you have more and more segment is a live segment, you get a less benefit. But the lucky thing is garbage collection usually handle the case focusing on the 10%, 20%. That's the region you're focusing on to trying to reclaim space for. Okay, so the recap this talk propose a new decompression technique is a modified LZ decompressor to support the partial decompression and aiming to minimize the CPU percentage and also the memory usage and give it use cases in the data read and GC. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any questions? So I have a question that I think I might have missed. I understand how your technique minimizes memory usage, but how does it minimize the CPU?
Because the minimize CPU because you are, say you are having the region, right? You have a region that contain the segments from, because this is like a deduped system, right? The region can mix of the segment from different streams. So if you want to reconstruct back one stream, say you only need the first two segments of the region.
I see.
Before you have decompressed the whole region, now you only need to decompress the range, cover the two segments.
Okay.
So in that sense, you're saving the CPU overhead. Right.
Okay. Any other questions?
So I'm Zhang Yan from University of Texas and Arlington. So I have a question. So you said that you can exploit some data locality. Mm-hmm. So because the deduped systems, the chunk are not necessarily sequential in the container. So how could you exploit that locality?
That really depends on the way you're doing the dedupe, right? When you're doing dedupe, you can have some policy saying that the segments belong to the same stream. You're trying to pack that in the same region. By removing all the duplicates, posting the remaining segment in the same region, right? Then in that way, you will have the region, the stream locality inside each region. That's meaning, you can trigger the locality. Also consider the case where you have some regions that are storing the segment from, for example, from some base version of the file, right? When you need to read the base version, you also will need every segment in that region. So that's another example of locality here.
Okay.
Yeah.